Rocker Insight. Jack Stogler, Rocker Bonneville, and hello, Rocker.
Hi, Jack.
We have another fun night coming up for us. We have RJ the DJ, Ryan Steinbrenner, coming up to talk about the St. Joe Festival in a few minutes. I think that's coming up like the, what is it, like 9th and 10th of September, something like that.
Yeah.
We'll let him share some of those details, and we'll ask him about the Wild Weekend.
7th and 8th is when it is.
September 7th. Yep. I was close.
Yes, you were.
Close. Yeah.
We'd have figured it out.
I got the month right anyway.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. So, Rocker, we just celebrated the Wild Weekend. And it was very aptly named, I think. Wow, what a weekend, huh?
It sure looked like they did
well. Were you down there?
Yes, both nights.
What did you do?
I donated a lot of money.
Chit-chat and drink beer?
Chit-chatting. There's a lot of people that I think that was their goal, was to see some old friends, have a lot of chats, drink a beer or two. I think they got that accomplished.
Yep.
So how many campers were there total? Do you ever hear?
It was under 250.
Okay, so that was at least manageable.
Yes, yeah.
You know, they had talked about as many as close to 600?
Yeah, they had well over 500 requests.
No kidding.
For camping. But so. that didn't all happen. But I talked to several people that said, that were down there, that said, we'll be camping next year.
Yeah, is that right?
So, and then, I don't know, Ryan, RJ might know the official thing, but I spoke to someone today who said that they voted to sell another 1,000 tickets next year instead of jumping to from 3,000 to 5,000 or 6,000. They're going to go up a 1,000 next year and probably another 1,000 the next year and see how that goes. Jump it up a little at a time instead of just a big time jump. So
within 4 years, it'll be bigger than Country Concert.
Wow. So right, are we going to park them in your yard, or where are we going to park them?
Yeah. So did anybody hear who the winner of the grand prize was?
No, I did not.
Rocker, any insight?
The only thing I heard was somebody from Versailles.
Somebody from Versailles. And you heard that from a reliable source?
Semi-reliable.
So did you make that up?
No. That part was true.
Okay. So do you hear any of the winners? I mean, I have heard you almost nothing.
I've heard several. Yeah. But I think a lot of people might not have been there that won.
Yeah.
And the ones that did win some might not have won the big stuff. And if they did win, they weren't bragging about it. They were spreading it all around.
Yeah, I tell you what, me and Marcia worked down there Friday night, and there was a, it was the happiest group of people that I ever met. I mean, you could just tell that they were down there for a good time. And just in the small time that I was down there, I saw old high school people that I hadn't seen in years, you know. So, you know, I think they used it as, you know, kind of a coming back home type thing, too.
Yep, and maybe go home with a new golf cart or a Kubota or a spa whirlpool or $25,000 or a gun or something. But yeah, it was pretty good. It was really good. You know, just I saw all kinds of people from all kinds of places that I knew that I wasn't expecting to see, and all of a sudden there they are. You know, there's a guy from way on the other side of Fort Laramie, almost to Sydney, and hadn't seen him in about 5 or 10 years, and there he was.
If like you think about it, to sell 3,000 tickets, you have to go outside of Fort Recovery to get that done. So, Rucker, what are we going to talk about tonight?
Oh, we got all kinds of things we can talk about. We got, like I said, we got the WOW. We have the St. Joe Festival coming up.
Well, we're going to save that for...
Yeah, we'll save that for later.
For Ryan, yes.
Of course, we got Stump the Rock.
We have Stump the Rock. And since RJ is coming in this evening, the Stump the Rock is focused on dates when musical celebrities died. So I'm guessing RJ that'll be right up RJ's alley.
So it might be a fair contest this time.
It's always a fair contest.
Yeah, except Rocker knows everything and most people don't.
That's true.
I don't know. We also got the Rocker's top 10 foreign country icons coming up, too.
Yes. So, you know what? And I want to touch on that. So, let's take a real quick break. And we'll be back to talk about Rocker's top 10 Fort Recovery icons right after this.
Hello, I'm Stacy from Brick Street Tavern. Stop in and see us on Friday and Saturday nights for our great dinner specials. You can get all-you-can-eat roasted chicken dinner for only $6.95, or you can try our 12-ounce New York strip steak dinner for only $12.95, and you can add a little zest and try your steak blackened. Both dinner specials come with jumbo baked potato and our large salad bar. We invite you to stop in at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery for our New York strip steak or all-you-can-eat eat chicken dinners on Friday and Saturday nights from 5 to 9 p.m.
Are you looking to become a part of a company that uses the vision of their team members to assist them in becoming successful? Cooper Farms does just that. We utilize the ideas and visions of our team members to make our processes better, easier, safer today. The Fort Recovery Division of Cooper Farms is currently seeking individuals to fill open egg packaging and sanitation positions. To learn more about these positions as well as other open positions, please visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. Aches and pains aren't trophies. They're just barriers keeping pros like you from getting the work done. You know better than anyone that this business can be backbreaking. But that's all the more reason to partner with someone who has your back. Ferris is about helping you finish strong and feel good about doing it. Ferris commercial grade mowers feature patented suspension technology that allows you to mow faster and get more work done while keeping you comfortable so you can feel good tomorrow. Ferris, work hard, feel good.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
St. Joe.
St. Joe who?
St. Joe Festival.
That's not very funny, Dad.
Well, it's not a joke. St. Joe Festival is knocking at the door, coming up September 6th, 7th, and 8th on the grounds of St. Joseph Parish, with a Friday night cornhole tournament, Saturday night outdoor mass, horseshoe tournament, and music by RJ the DJ. Sunday, kitty tractor pulls, horseshoe and beanbag tournaments, NFL football, and entertainment by Kyle Kesters. There's something for everyone.
You're still not very funny.
It may not be funny, but it will be fun at the St. Joe Festival, September 6th, 7th, and 8th. Check the Parish Bulletin or the St. Joe Festival Facebook page for more information.
We're back. Insight. Jack Stogler.
Rocker.
And we're talking about Rocker's top 10 list. And Rocker, I've got a little beef with you about your top 10 list.
Most people do, usually.
So, it seems like you post these things and you get people all riled up because most of your top 10 lists can be pretty controversial.
I was told to make them controversial.
Okay. And so you post this thing and then people start responding and you never reply.
Well, I figure I let them thin the herd occasionally.
So why do you post it and then not respond and defend yourself?
Because it's for entertainment purposes. I enjoy it, and the whole purpose is to
piss people off.
Well, no, not that, because that's. But people enjoy it. I mean, I don't think they really are that upset. I mean, I hope they wouldn't be.
Well, I am when I don't get on the coolest guy list.
I've never made one of your lists. And yet my wife was number four this week.
Yes.
What the hell's up with that?
She's better than you are.
But that, and she finally made a list.
And she finally, yes, she finally made a list. So
probably not the list she was hoping for, though.
Probably of all the lists she could be on, that's probably not in her top 10 list. So how do you come up with these ideas?
When you got a whole lot of time on your hands, that tends to happen. But a lot of them is I try to, like, I go with, like, stuff I grew up with, like TV, movies. People say, well, how do you know what the top 10 thing of the 50s were? You weren't even alive. It's called imagination. It's also called YouTube.
Ah.
And it's also called your choice.
Yep. So you researched this?
Most of them, yes.
So how do you research the hottest moms or the hottest grandmas?
That's a little more of a up here than anything. Then
what are you pointing at, Rocker?
My head. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I forgot we're on radio. But it's helps when you got a little bit of Facebook too. Facebook kind of helps with that too.
So, one of your favorite topics has got to do with Fort Recovery and people of Fort Recovery.
Yes.
Okay. Which led us to the topic of, so if, like, the next mural that was up on the side of a building was the Fort Recovery edition of Mount Rushmore with the top 10 people that would be posted up there. Okay? You have a list of who you believe those 10 people ought to be, correct?
Well, I hope, yes.
Yeah. And this is based off of Fort Recovery icons.
Based off of what they've done, did for the community, are doing at the present time. Some obviously are not with us anymore, but a majority of them are still with us.
Okay. Well,
do we want to start?
What? Let's share it. Yeah.
Start with number 10, Ivo Wendell.
Ivo Wendell. That's a great choice.
Retired, now he's mowing the yards.
But he gets paid to do that. That's what people will say.
But, he'd probably do it if he didn't get paid.
Yep, he likes to have stuff to do.
Yep. Okay.
Number 9, a name that is not too unfamiliar with Fort Recovery listeners, Ivan Coffinberger.
Ivan Coffinberger.
Yep.
I think Billy used to say that he's the richest man in Fort Recovery.
Yep.
Outside him and Chuck Hines.
Yeah, I was going to say outside of Chuck Hines.
Yep. Between Ivan and Chuck, Bill said that almost every morning.
Yeah. Number 8.
Number 8. Another name is a local business guy, Kenny Canoth.
Kenny Canoth. That's a good choice.
What'd he ever do for the community?
Help the farmers.
He gets paid for that. It's his job.
I'm
arguing with you.
I think you just stumped a rocker.
I'm trying to come up with some reason to dispute every one of you.
Brian Steinberger joins us in studio.
Oh, yeah, let me get his microphone on.
There you go.
Yep. I'm trying to dispute everything he says.
That's also why I don't respond.
Yes, that's exactly why he doesn't.
Oh, and here's another, number 7. None, I don't think most will disagree
none.
With.
This one's a nun?
Oh, very Sister little. Mary Birchman.
Bill Bechtel, not quite.
Oh, Bill Bechtel.
Number 7.
That's a good choice.
That's a great choice.
So how long
he ever done?
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, I was going to say, what?
He built the football stadium.
So how long did they say he served on park board?
300 years.
It was incredible.
Yeah, some long...
A number of years.
He has done a lot. I can't argue with that one at all.
Billy Bechtel's on Mount Rushmore.
Number six is one you might be caught by surprise by.
Okay.
John Benn.
What's he ever done for Fort Recovery? Had a whole bunch of kids?
Yeah. He helped our basketball program for quite some years.
Yes.
So, yep. So why'd you pick John?
I think a lot of it is he has done, of course he's the owner at Meyerdine's there for a while too.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, but he got paid for that.
You're killing me, Neil.
Yeah, well, I couldn't come up with anything that I could say about Bill Bechtel, but I probably can come up with something for everybody else.
Number five, the guy that I said last week about took him out.
Uh-oh.
Number five, Dale Tobey.
Yep.
Dale taught you how to drive.
Well, not successfully.
Yeah. Dale spent time with you in the car.
Yes.
So what else did Dale ever do?
Survived.
So you tell me about your driver's ed experience.
Well, let's see. How can I do this in a... Tell you how bad my experience was. He threw me out of the car that day. Literally helped me out of the car, plopped me in the back seat, and let Mike Rockwood take, or the German exchange student take over.
Perfect.
Until the kid thought he was on the Autobahn, and he got up to about 95, and Dale said a few words at night on air.
So that wasn't his best day. Take the rocker out and gets a race car driving.
Yeah, he's not one of Dale's better happy days there. And here's a name. Number four is a name everybody loves. Not a personal disagree with this one. Kathy Stogler.
I love Kathy Stogler. What did she ever do for Fort Recovery?
Well, she taught this happy guy.
Yep.
A few others.
Yep, she was awesome. She is awesome.
Dad paid her $20 to teach me how to speak, and he regretted every minute of it.
It was the worst $20 he ever spent.
Yeah. So you were shy and wouldn't talk?
No, I wasn't shy. I just couldn't talk.
Oh.
So
how old were you? 15?
Kathy taught you how to talk?
About five.
Oh.
Four or five. What's that big guy?
So Kathy taught you how to,
Yeah.
She gave you speech lessons or whatever?
That's awesome.
At what age?
Four or five.
Is that right? So do you remember that?
Vaguely, yes. Very, very, I wouldn't say vaguely. I remember real well, actually.
Yeah.
She's a sweetheart.
It would be interesting, and this is true of almost every teacher. I wish everybody like Kathy, or like Helen LaFever, or Robin Armstrong. Yeah, the list goes on.
Nancy Kanafke.
Hundreds, yep. Probably hundreds of them. Yep.
Would have the chance to hear from students what a great influence they have been on their lives.
Yep.
Because that's a thankless job at times.
Yep. And I can tell you that Bill Bechtel told me this story, and I believe it was when he went into the Hall of Fame, or might have been a 50th class reunion or something. Anyway, there was a high school teacher that probably nobody here will remember, but his name was Bob Kottner. Back, he was here for 4, 5, 6 years, and Bill Bechtel was just some kid, and in English class, speech class, something, there was a debate going to happen, and this teacher picked out Bill Bechtel to be the representative that would be either the pro or the anti against Judy Stein, who was a class valedictorian, yeah. Prettiest girl in school, very well-respected person. And Bill said, why are you doing this to me? He said, because you can beat her. And he did. And he said, that changed my life.
Isn't that neat?
And he had Mr. Kottner come back for either his Hall of Fame or something.
One of those
and he
things.
Told him that to his face. You changed yeah. my life. And, you know, now he's on the Fort Recovery Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
Bill,
but,
you know, changed Bill's life, changed our town.
Yeah.
Just some guy had, some teacher had confidence in some kid that nobody else had confidence yeah. in.
That's so, very cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. And that's one thing that I know about. I bet there's thousands
oh, yeah.
of those. Maybe not a specific instance, but the way a teacher treated a kid that other people didn't care for or that was whatever it may be. So anyway, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Number three, a name that everybody knows.
Oh, that's me.
Buckshot Mays.
Oh, man. Without a doubt.
Yes. Yeah, what did he ever do for the town?
Quite a few things, probably.
Yeah, a lot of it he did for free. He did finally start charging for doing all the sound for all the stuff. But he did all the sound for the tractor pulls, Jubilees, for decades, and
Jay
he never got paid.
Too, ain't it?
Well, but he got paid for that. But he
back when I was on the Board of Education, you know, Karen Myring, the band, and this every school class that needed anything hooked
yep.
up. And it was a lot different back then when it came to you know, microphones and things. So, you know, Buckshot would you know, not only wire it, he had all the stuff to do it, too.
Yep. And he'd just give it to you or loan it yep. to you if it's something that you might need several times. He'd just give it to you. Yeah, he's
good choice, Robert.
That's a very good choice.
Number two is a name Neil brought up earlier, Ivo Toby.
Oh, yep. Toby's Restaurant. What'd he ever do for Fort Recovery?
Well,
he got paid for it.
Yeah. He got paid for it.
No, he was something else. He was a really good guy. And Dale Toby's dad.
Yep.
Yes. I didn't remember him that well because I was real little when he passed away, I think. But yeah, I remember his brother Jerry more than anything.
Yep.
Yep.
Jerry was awesome.
Yep.
Jerry was one of my all-time favorite people. And I remember he was working at St. News, and he would be behind the bar. And Ron May played for the softball team, and Clark May was like a year old sitting on the bar, and he was an identical face. Clark May and Jerry Toby.
Is that
identical.
Right?
Identical. Just round, big smile. Just, oh, man, it was awesome. Yeah, Ivo was yep. a great guy. And Jerry.
Let's see, is this number two?
Number one, actually.
Number one.
Oh, I hope that's me.
Oh, no, not quite.
Oops. Oh, man.
Just a bit outside. Pinky Gabley.
Pinky Gabley.
Gabley, yeah.
A blast from the past?
Way back.
What did he ever do for Fort Recovery?
I fed us.
Yeah, but he got paid for that. But Ivo also had a lot to do with the Jubilee
yeah.
over the years. And what one of the things that the till they started putting it down at Ambassador Park, the bar owners at that time would donate $1,000, which was about like $5,000 or $10,000 now, to the Jubilee Committee. And they would, of course, they didn't sell beer on the street, so the bars were just busy as could possibly be. And they gave a bunch of that money that they made, a quarter of beer, and they gave $1,000 to the Jubilee, both with Minor Dings and Toby's, and I believe Paul's Place and Smitty's also did that. But the bars made a lot of money, and they gave a lot of it back.
Yeah,
those are really good people.
So I'm going to put a twist on it, okay?
Okie dokie.
And you, Ryan, you can kind of share your thoughts too. If we had an under 40 Mount Rushmore, you know, think this guy next to us might be one of them.
Oh, he'd be, yeah.
Yeah.
Chuck War.
Who would be on that Mount Rushmore for people under the age of 40?
Ooh.
Connor Rammel?
Yeah, probably.
Ryan Steinbrenner?
Me?
No. Yeah, they're probably over 40, but like, you know, the Dan and Teresa
Nick Hughes probably,
yeah.
Cliffy?
Oh yeah, Cliffy.
Cliff? Yeah. So, and you know what? That's a great thing about this wild thing and the Jubilee nowadays too. You know, seeing the next generation kind of step up and fill that role is awesome. So I tell you what, we're going to take a little break. We're going to come back, and Ryan Steinberg is going to share some stuff about the St. Joe Festival. And we're going to do a Stump the Rocker.
I'm in trouble on that. I know already.
I don't know.
We'll see.
So we'll be back right after this.
Clinchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at clinchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Clinchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Boers Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boers, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boers Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boers Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Miracle Lanes will be closed Friday, August 23rd through Sunday, August 25th for the WOW event at Ambassador Park, and they'll also be closed the following weekend, Thursday through Sunday, for the Labor Day weekend. They'll reopen for the bowling season on Tuesday, September 3rd, and will be open 7 days a week until after the bowling season finishes in the spring. And if you're interested in joining a bowling league, they're looking for 2 four-man teams on Thursday at 9 o'clock. Contact them through their Facebook page if you're interested. Again, Miracle Lanes will be closed until after Labor Day, after tomorrow, for the WOW event and Labor Day. Then they'll be open 7 days a week so you can get all your favorites again. Here are the sports broadcasts coming up this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow evening, the Lady Indians will host the Parkway Panthers in our first MAC volleyball match of the season. We'll be simulcasting WPGW's coverage of the match. On Friday, football's back, and our Indians will host the Sydney Lehman Cavaliers. And Jeff and Joe will bring you all the action again this season. Then on Saturday, the Lady Indians will play in the St. Henry Invitational against the Rushi Raiders, the Buckeye Central Bucks, and the St. Henry Redskins. Fort Recovery Radio's broadcast team of Diana Rammel and Susie Fortkamp will bring you all of that action live starting at 10. A big week of sports coming up as the volleyball season enters its second week and the football season begins. Get to all these games to cheer on our Indians teams, but if you just can't get there in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We're back. Jack Stogler, Insight, Rocker Bonville, and Ryan Steinbrenner from the St. Joe Church Festival. And we are now ready to play Beat the Rocker.
I'm ready.
Okay. So.
$25,000 first prize, right?
Yes.
Okay.
If you beat Rocker, you get a $10 gift certificate from any merchant.
Ooh, I like it.
Okay. Merchant's gift certificate.
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. All right. So, the question is, when did these rock stars die? Give me the date.
All right.
Okay? So, the first one, John Lennon. I'll let you Give me the month and the year.
I said July 1980.
July 1980. Rocker says
December 8th, 1980.
That's awfully exact.
Do you want the date and the time, too?
I don't have the time on that.
He did that last week.
I'm pretty proud of myself. I got 1980.
Hey, which you did. It was December 8th, 1980.
All right.
Neil's favorite rock star, Michael Jackson.
Ooh.
Okay.
Creep.
Rocker go first.
Just say the year first, Rocker, and you can come back with a date.
2009.
I see. I got 2009. I said August of 09.
August of 09?
I ain't got a date, though.
I'm going June 29th.
June 25th.
Ooh.
Yep.
Of 09.
Yep.
So,
again, I'm proud of myself here. I'm terrible at trivia. I'm two for two there.
Have been excellent.
That's pretty good.
But you were shaky on Whitney Houston.
I'm shaky on the last one.
You're shaky on the last one.
But you're probably going to give a good guess.
Whitney Houston. Brian?
Well, I couldn't think. The other two knew the year. I said December 2010, but I have no idea if that's the correct year.
2010, Rocker?
February 11th, 2012.
Yeah, but what time?
February 11th. How do you know when Whitney Houston died?
Well, that was the same day as Bob, my brother Bob's birthday party.
You're amazing, Rocker.
Well, you should have seen the one that when we were doing Breakfast with Bill. And it was whatever Jackie Onassis's sister is. When did she die?
A sister? I don't
remember. Oh, it was Jackie.
Jackie.
And somebody else died that same day. So Jackie Kennedy's sister, her sister's birthday. And then Bill says, oh, that's a Kennedy thing. Start talking about Jackie Kennedy. When did she die? Well, the same day as Sammy Davis Jr. It's not anything he's sitting there thinking about. It's just.
Well, RJ, don't feel bad about losing.
I'm proud of myself on that. I held my ground with Rocker here. I'll take it.
You will be the closest ever.
If that $10 accumulated every week, it'd be $3,000 in a few years. You'd still be going.
So, St. Joe Festival.
It's coming.
Yep. When?
Next weekend, September 6th, 7th, and 8th.
6th, 7th, and 8th. Do you know, like, what year is this? When did it start?
It started in 1984. We asked this question every year.
Yep.
And I actually brought a list so I could answer that. That's Gary's wheelhouse. He didn't come up tonight, but it started in 1984. So what's that make this?
This is the 36th year of it.
There you go. Good
wow.
Math.
Wow.
Wow. So, why did it start, and who was responsible for getting it started?
Yeah, it just needed to raise some funds for the church. I think it just was a group of guys that is like my dad's age or approximately there, and and their parents especially that said I think we need to raise some money. And the first people in charge of it were Paul and Ruth Bax. So that was the first year, 1984. Paul and Ruth Bax were the chairman the first year, and just an idea. It's, it always starts as an idea of something. What can we do to raise some money to help the church? And now 36 years later, here we are.
And I'm guessing that you weren't around for that first one.
I was not. I was 2 years away from being born, so
is
I was
that
close.
Right?
Yep.
So you're 34 years old.
33, yep. 30. I think I'm 33. I lose track. I'm 86, so yeah, I was born 86, yep.
So the funds go just towards the continued operations of the church?
Yeah. A few years ago, we started the Friends of St. Joe Church, which is a nonprofit organization to, help the church separate from the church. And so now the funds get, divvied up between the Friends and the church itself, So the funds that go to the church are normal operations of the church, go to the archdiocese and whatever, normal funds, I guess, there are. But then the Friends of St. Joe can distribute those funds for whatever needs the church. church, you know, has in the past few years. We've redone the windows in the church, and we've redone the carpet in the church, and we've put in a new, took out an old driveway and put in new diagonal parking all the way down Sawmill Road, and are currently working on getting the cemetery some nice fencing in there and a new driveway, and got some more projects coming up. So, you know, it's kind of a never-ending list. You think of complete one, and you add two more to the list, but...
And on a building like that, it isn't the same as putting, a new roof on your garage.
Yeah.
You're talking about major investment.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, though, last time that maybe Mel Bertke and your dad was here, maybe.
I think Gary and Mel were here, yeah.
Yeah. And they like, at that time, I think they were redoing some of the statues that were in church, too.
Yep. Yeah, they restored some of the statues in there. There's a crucifix in the back of church that, it was, chipping away. It wasn't looking real good anymore. And so they took it down. It was made of paper mache. And so Mel told that story as him and Gary took that over to get restored, and the arm broke off of it, when they sent it back of there. But it's built in 1860-61. When they got over there, since it's paper mache, they found a date on the inside of the arm. That paper said 1861, is in German, so I couldn't read it. But
wow.
That thing's going on 170, 100 whatever years old there, so it's pretty amazing. But they did a heck of a job restoring that, and that hangs back there and looks great now. And
So is there a committee that's involved in the St. Joe Festival?
Yeah, it's a continuing committee where, you're responsible. If you're chairman one year, you're responsible for finding your co-chair, and then they take over the next year and find their own co-chair, and just keeps moving on. So each stand has their, chairman and co-chairman, and then the festival has an overall chairman and co-chairman. This year, it's Joel and Lindsay Eilerman, so it was Lindsay Follenkamp.
Yep.
And her husband are doing it this year, and I think their co-chair are Alex and Trent Kaiser this year. So
that's a good choice.
Yeah,
they those two guys are go-getters. I've talked to them almost every year. They've been working there 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. They love that.
Absolutely.
And they're good at that. Those are good people. Those are really good people.
And you touched on it before when you were talking about the WOW, but it's you've seen the change over the last few years from my parents' age and running it to now my generation, even younger, running. I mean, Alex and Trent, they're 5, 6, 7 years younger than I am, and they're stepping up, taking charge of the entire festival. So you see that at a lot of the stands. It's pretty neat.
Well, and I think it says something about the way the kids and the family are brought up. Church isn't just a building.
Absolutely.
And it's when it comes to community, it's that church. And it's not just where you go to every Sunday morning. It's also where you go to meet your friends, and you go to play. And
I mean, it's some of my fondest memories as a child. I remember waking up Sunday morning. We went to St. Joe Church, and after church, we walked over to St. Joe's store, and the Groobies and the Sidoffs and the Steinbrenners, and everybody we gathered in there for a couple hours. We'd, as a little kid, sit there and play pinball and throw darts and shoot pool, and the parents and sit there and shoot the breeze and have a great time. I remember that vividly.
Yeah, we lived out on St. Peter Road, and I used to have to serve weekday masses back then. So I'd ride my bike, and about half the time I never made it there because I stop at the bridge on St. Peter Road and
catch crawdads.
Start catching crawdads, and we had a tire swing, and pretty soon I'd hear my mom call me from about a half mile up, and I said, "Oh crap, I think I'm in trouble." I tell you what, we're going to come back and talk about some of these specifics of the 2019 St. Joe Homecoming Festival right after this.
Choosing the right insurance plan is as important as choosing the right insurance agency. And Fort Recovery Insurance Agency is the right choice for you. We'll bring you inside our fort to protect you and help you recover when you've had a loss. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency will help find the right Ohio Mutual plan for your needs. Start in the right place so you end up in the right place, where we've got something for everyone. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. Call us at 888-375-4181.
Do you have that one room that is too cold in the winter or too hot in the summer? Need to send air or heat to an addition, basement, or garage, but getting it there seems impossible? Introducing Mitsubishi Multi-Zone Systems, your heating and air solution for one room or independent control of every room. Oh, did I mention Mitsubishi H21 systems are ductless and can be installed almost anywhere, even the ceiling? Get a $500 instant savings discount now at Reasoner Energy. Another problem solved by Reasoner Energy. 419-678-4858.
Wayne Street Market is having a big end of the summer sale going on now through Labor Day with great prices throughout the store. Looking for some great brats for the grill? They have 5 packs of Johnsonville brats on sale. Get 2 packs of their fresh brats for $9.99 or 2 packs of Johnsonville smoked brats for $8.99. And you can get their great quarter-pound hamburger patties, 4 to a package, for just $2.99. And if you're looking for some great steaks for the grill, how about these? Ribeye steaks for $6.99 a pound, or New York strip steaks for just $4.99 a pound. These are all available in their grab-and-go case. So get to Wayne Street Market and get in on these great prices for some great grilling. These special prices are good through Labor Day, and they'll be open from 10 to 2 on Labor Day Monday. You can always count on great prices and great selection at Wayne Street Market, the best meat market around.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
St. Joe.
St. Joe Hill.
St. Joe Festival.
That's not very funny, Dad.
Well, it's not a joke. St. Joe Festival is knocking at the door, coming up September 6th, 7th, and 8th on the grounds of St. Joseph Parish, with a Friday night cornhole tournament, Saturday night outdoor mass, horseshoe tournament, and music by RJ the DJ. Sunday, kitty tractor pulls, horseshoe and beanbag tournaments, NFL football, and entertainment by Kyle Kesters. There's something for everyone.
You're still not very funny.
I may not be funny, but it will be fun at the St. Joe Festival, September 6th, 7th, and 8th. Check the Parish Bulletin or the St. Joe Festival Facebook page for more information.
We're back.
That one makes me smile.
Yeah.
Every time I hear it.
So let's just talk about that. Mm-hmm. You're a daughter that was in that commercial.
That's my oldest, Brinley.
And how old is she?
She's 6.
She's 6?
Yep, just started kindergarten.
So did you have to kind of nudge her to do that?
I did. She was excited to do it. I was going to have the younger one do it, my 4-year-old. And when we got up here, she wanted no part of it.
Why you didn't do it?
And Brinley helped me do the one last year, my oldest. And so she was mad that I was letting Rhea do it this year.
Yeah.
Well, then when Rhea went to do it, I said, okay, Brinley, you're up. And then she just got a little timid. I put her on the spot, but she did a great job.
Yeah. You hear her cute little voice there. I mean, that's just awesome.
Yeah. And people would pay $1 million to have somebody that cute saying stuff. Because when I was editing, I was giggling.
Well, I appreciate you think I'm that cute. My bad.
You're not distractingly ugly, but you're not cute.
Hey, you know, that's the best compliment anyone's ever given me.
Well, probably not is.
Nicer than anything my wife's ever told me.
Yeah, probably right. I don't doubt that.
You've been married long enough now.
Yeah. And she's not listening, so.
Yeah, but she'll listen in the archive.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
So, St. Joe Festival starts Friday.
Starts next Friday, yep.
So what's going on Friday?
Cornhole tournament. We started that. This will be the 4th year for it. And they used to, back in the, 80s, 90s, they had it on Friday night. And they always had a big volleyball tournament out there. I think maybe started Friday night. But I know the festival started on Friday night, and that kind of went away. And so when we started the Friends of St. Joe, we wanted to do something specific for that organization, tie it in with the festival. And so that's why we started the cornhole tournament. And that went over pretty well. We had, it was 32 teams the first year. And I think we had 48 teams the last 2 years. So we went from 32 to 48. And so last year I said, I want to hit 64. And I may have, except for last year was the rain out, and we got rain and rain and rain last year. So we had 48 teams again. It was set up underneath a tent, so it didn't stop us one bit.
No kidding.
And so now I'm going to say this year, we're going to get some sun, we're going to get some nice weather, and we're going to get 64 teams out there for Friday night.
And I think that first year, you actually waited till the football game was over, and I think that went long, so it was probably 10 or
it was 10 o'clock
or 10:30
till
you had started, so people had time to go to the game and then get out there. Now, this year it'll be Valley View, at Valley View.
So we're starting at 8 o'clock. It's sign-in starts at 7:30. The tournament will start at 8, and as I did the past couple of years, so have Fort Recovery Radio on playing the games.
Now, you wouldn't want to... last year, you wouldn't have wanted to wait till the game was over to start the tournament because that was a 2.5 hour
rain delay.
I remember that.
You'd still be playing. Go ahead. Sorry.
So how long does it take to play?
Last year, I think the last we were done by midnight. The last team was done by midnight. Went pretty smooth, and it's a $20 entry to get into it. You bring your own partner, so you know by 8 o'clock we're usually ready to go. And what sped it up last year, the two first years we sat there and hand wrote brackets out. It takes a little bit of time. Then I found a program on my computer. I brought a projector up and hooked up my computer, and we had a nice projected screen up on the side of the tent right there. And all you do is type in the teams as they sign in. So we'll do that again this year.
Technology, that's awesome.
You click start, it shuffles them up. Boom, you got a bracket for however many teams you got.
It even shuffles them up for you.
Yeah, you just hit shuffle them up, and if you got an odd number of teams, if we have 61 teams sign up, I don't got to think about anything. You just hit go, and it puts it up there for you.
That's awesome.
That's great. Now, if somebody wants to do it, but they don't have their own partner, could they come out and maybe see if somebody else is in that same boat?
Yeah, come on out. Every year we have more than a few that show up and say, you know, I don't have a partner, and I just get on the microphone and let them know, and we always get them paired up. So
perfect.
Do they still have the horseshoe tournament or not?
Yeah, that's on Saturday and Sunday. They have it each day.
Two different ones, yeah.
Yep.
Rucker,
that's a big deal.
Ahead.
Just trying to slide in.
Rucker's always one step ahead of everybody.
I'm not going to let Rucker talk. I've never been on one of his lists either. I heard you talking about that before. I can't believe it. Never on a single list. Yeah. What's up with that, Rocker?
I don't know.
I'm putting him on the spot.
I haven't been on any because he hasn't printed one out yet that says all the people he hates.
No. There's three of us who get on that list.
I can make top 10 in that.
Me and Ryan are waiting on the butt ugly list.
So you don't want to be on that list.
So is Friday pretty much dedicated to the cornhole
tournament? It is, yeah. The beer stand's open, and then my dad, with his DJ business, always donates the food for that night. So he'll cook up some burgers and dogs and brats and everything, and we'll have them for sale out there. And we'll have the beer for sale and pop and water and all that. But other than that one tent with the beer and the food, it's just the cornhole tournament. None of the other stands are open.
Good deal. So then we roll into Saturday. Now we're ready to talk about Saturday, Rocker. Okay. So what's going on Saturday?
Well, you gotta start the festival Saturday with Mass. You gotta get Mass in. We do the outdoor Mass. Weather hopefully cooperating this year for us on that. But we'll have outdoor Mass at 4:30 p.m. That's on the front lawn of St. Joe. Bring your lawn chairs for that, and that's always a great way to start the festival. And so for those of the people in the cluster, the Fort Recovery Community Cluster, Mary Help Christians does not have a Mass on Saturday night. Next Saturday it will be at St. Joe at 4:30. So don't show up to Mary Help at 4:30 expecting church there. You're not going to get it there. So come on out to St. Joe, bring your lawn chairs and 4:30 Mass, and then head on over to the tent after that.
If you go to Fort Recovery first and realize you needed to go to St. Joe, they're not going to have any problem with you running out there, and if you're late, but you do have to put extra in the collection plate.
I agree with that. I like that.
And I tell you what, there's nothing better than an outdoor mask. Oh, there's just something
and it's
about that.
And in September, I just, you know, it's almost just about jacket weather sometimes. Yeah. You know, you just, that sun is still up, and so you're sitting there in your light jacket or your short sleeves, and you get a little bit of a breeze, and most years, that's just beautiful sitting out there during that mask.
Yeah. So we've gotten the priest blessing. So, mm-hmm. you know, we're gonna hit the festival.
Hit the festival. And so that's, you know, at 6 o'clock or approximately after Mass is over, we'll, you know, open up all the stands. And another good, great part about Mass is the wind's out of the right direction. You smell that chili that's cooking. And you can't wait to get that. They make some great chili. And I couldn't even tell you who's all involved. I think Kip Deuce and some guys. I don't know who's all involved with making that chili, but they're out there cooking that. You got to get a bowl of chili after Mass. And they got some great food in the lunch stand also, burgers and dogs and everything. And so you go out there and eat your dinner, and by the time you get done eating, then the fun stands are open.
Do I remember right, do they also have buffalo burgers out there?
They have in the past. I as far as I know, they still have those, but I couldn't guarantee it.
But, haven't had one, but
they're good. I think that's, no, I've always had one.
Supposed to be more protein, less fat, and better for you than beef.
Yep. So you know, you get your fed, and then all the stands open. You got a kiddie stand that opens, you know, for the kids. You got the cake stand, you got your gambling stands, of course the beer stand will be open, and college football is on that day, so we got TVs on with college football playing, and just something to do for everyone. And then bingo is going on. That always starts at 7 o'clock. I think a lot of those proceeds specifically go to like the CCD, the youth religious programs, and that helps them out. So that's in the KFC hall over there, so you can go play some bingo. And they got an amateur horseshoe tournament at 7:30. Sign in for that. Starts at 7 o'clock. So amateur, I suppose, if you have no idea what you're doing, go out and throw horseshoes anyway. I think that one's more about drinking the beer than it is throwing the shoes. But go ahead.
And there are some very good tossers that too. But if you, I guess the way you're saying it is, if you don't really know what you're doing, do it on Saturday.
Do it on Sunday.
Sunday, you'll get embarrassed really bad.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I've played in the Saturday one time, and I don't know if I ever made it into the mud. Nevertheless, hit that little stake thing that's down. That's about as much as I know. But there's some guys that go out there on Tuesday nights, all spring, summer, and fall, and throw horseshoes. And of course, they help keep them pits wet. You know, you got to keep them watered down. So they're doing their job to help it ready for the festival. So there's a lot of good throwers. But and sometimes Saturday night with good weather, we get, and that tournament's gone on till 2 or 3 in the morning some years. I think just depending on how nice the weather is and how many people show up. I know there's been some years it went really late.
So just for my own personal knowledge, in the area, who are the prime horseshoe throwers?
Oh, geez. You know, put me on a spot here. I'll tell you, Bob Ports is one of them.
Is that right?
Yeah, Bob is out there almost every Tuesday, I think, throwing shoes. I'm trying to think who all goes out there on Tuesday nights and throws, but I'm not one of them, so I couldn't tell you who's all out there, but I know Bob Ports is out there a bunch.
There's some really good ones. Even on Saturday night, when I'll be standing there watching, and I think last year before, I asked somebody, said, so is this one of the ones that usually wins? They said, no, he didn't shoot, he didn't throw much. But he was hitting ringers almost every shot.
Yep.
So, you know, there's all kinds of people out there, and some of them are getting lucky that night, and some of them are that good, but just don't throw all the time. So
when you say they're getting lucky that night.
I said sometimes it might be that.
Oh, okay.
Because they're.
Okay, I thought.
I'm talking about throwing horseshoes.
I thought something new at the festival.
No, I'm talking about throwing horseshoes.
What is a Catholic festival? We promote children. There you go. The more children, the better in a Catholic family.
So, other than the horseshoes, what else is going on?
We have attendance and attendance prizes on Saturday night for adults and children. We've got a 50-50 drawing that usually draws in some good money, and then 10 o'clock, RJ the DJ starts playing music, and we rock the festival grounds until they tell me to get out of there.
Is that right? You start at 10 o'clock?
At 9:30, 10. I kind of play it by ear. I see how everybody's going, and if the young ones are getting some beer in them and are ready to dance, I'll fire it up a little early if I want to. But they, I've been yelled at more than a few times at the end of the night there. I'm supposed to show, I think the liquor license ends at 1, so I'll call last call at 12:45 and play Piano Man, and then I'll play another song.
Who usually yells at you, though?
Now, usually the chairman are ready to go home because they've been there all week and all day. Or the guy running the beer stand, because his name's the one on the liquor license, so he's the one that could get it. So, they'll come up at 1:15 and politely remind me to shut her down, and then at 1:30 when they tell me to get the F out of there, then I'll do that. then I'll play Cleveland Rocks. That's always my last song. So Browns start the next day, so then I got to play Cleveland Rocks to finish it off.
So I tell you what, we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, is there anything we're missing on Saturday?
Nope, we got Saturday covered.
All right. So we're going to come back, we're going to talk about Sunday, and we'll be back right after this.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
My plan was to stay for 5 years. I would get my experience, then I would move on and do bigger and better things.
At Cooper Farms, we're growing, and we want you to grow with us.
5 years came and went, and I really had no reason to leave. I've been here 30 years. I'm the accounting manager, and I don't have a big accounting background. It's just they've seen me grow over the years.
To see our open hourly and management positions, visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Stacy from Brick Street Tavern. Stop in and see us on Friday and Saturday nights for our great dinner specials. You can get all-you-can-eat roasted chicken dinner for only $6.95, or you can try our 12-ounce New York strip steak dinner for only $12.95, and you can add a little zest and try your steak blackened. Both dinner specials come with jumbo baked potato and our large salad bar. We invite you to stop in at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery for our New York strip steak or all-you-can-eat chicken dinners on Friday and Saturday nights from 5 to 9 p.m.
Presale tickets for this Friday's home football game with Sidney Lehman can be purchased tomorrow from 8 a.m. to 11:15 a.m. in the middle school office, then from 11:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the high school office. On Friday, presale tickets can be purchased from 7:45 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. in the high school office. Be sure to get your tickets ahead of time and save yourself some time and money. Presale tickets are only $4 for students and $6 for adults. All tickets at the gate will be $7 for both adults and students. There will be no presale tickets for our volleyball matches this year.
We're back. Insight, Jack Stogler, rocker Bon Bellin, and international DJ Brian Steinberg.
International.
Well,
close.
Cleveland's kind of damn near out.
Cleveland. Out of the country. Yeah, it's almost. Yeah. I mean, I've DJed in Kentucky and Michigan before, so at least that's out of state.
So, and this is completely off. Well, I'll tell you what, let's finish up Sunday and then I'll ask about the old DJ.
All right, sounds good.
Okay.
And some wild stuff. Let's ask about some wild stuff.
And we can do that too.
So, Sunday, the final day of the, what did we say, 36th St. Joe Festival.
Yep.
What's going on Sunday?
We usually open up about 1 o'clock, all the stands, beer stands, food stand, all that, so you come up and get lunch. And my favorite part is it's opening day of football season, so we get the TVs in the beer tent, and we got NFL football on. And, this year I'm...
On the Browns or Bengals?
Well, both. we make sure we get both. And we've had to go through some fits in some years. You know, if the Browns are on, you know, a channel like a Lima channel or something, that's it. We've had these rickety old ladders on top of one another trying to get an antenna pointed up high enough in the right direction so we can get to. But we got the Browns.
But you got the Browns.
We got the Browns. So we'll find them again this way, one way or the other. Yeah. But, so football is on at 1 o'clock. We're going to watch a Browns win this year.
There you go.
Since 1999, they've only won once on opening weekend.
They've only been one.
I think they've only won once. I might even be wrong there. Yeah. But regardless, they're going to win this year.
And they play Tennessee.
They play Tennessee. Yeah, and they, you know, we got hope this year. We could talk another hour about the Browns. I'll go on. Bingo opens again on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock, and then we got a beanbag and a horseshoe tournament. Again, the horseshoe tournament's going to be some of the better guys that day. And then beanbag tournament, that's been going on for years and years and years, and we still have that. So both those start at 2 o'clock, sign in at 1:30, and then one of the other neatest things up there, the kiddie tractor pulls at 2 o'clock. And
I heard that's very popular.
It's always a great turnout with good weather. Last year it got canceled, obviously, with the rain, but now my daughters are old enough so they can be peddling in there, and there's not a lot that can pull me away from watching the Browns, but that can pull me away to watch them. That's neat. So that goes on at 2 o'clock, also sign in at 1:30. We got barbecue chicken dinners for supper. They start serving them at 4 o'clock. If you happen not to be at the festival and don't want to stick around or something, they even have a drive through there. You can pull right up and take some home with you, and there's no pre-sale tickets for those. It's just first come, first serve. And
so how many you sell dinners, them?
You know what? I don't know how many they order. I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
They got adult and children's attendance prizes again on Sunday. Kyle Kesters will come in after the 1 o'clock football game, so he'll get to around 5:30 or something, and he plays some acoustic music.
He's really good.
Oh, he's awesome. I could sit there and listen to him sing all day. He's awesome. Another 50-50 drawing, and then we wrap things up about 7:30. We do the big raffle drawing at the end. I'm trying to think how many prizes are on that this year. I can tell you right now, 80-some prizes on the raffle drawing, and so we do that at 7:30, and by 8:30 or 9, we wrap her up, and we're out of there.
So in order to buy a ticket, who do you see?
Well, most of the parish members, St. Joe Parish members, have tickets right now. Obviously, you can buy them that weekend at the headquarters stand. So if you know a St. Joe Parish, you know, member, you can talk to them. I got a bunch of them, you know, right now that I can sell. And if you don't get any before that weekend, come on up and get some up there.
Fantastic. So, you know, one thing that I noticed is, you know, this isn't the St. Joe Church Festival.
Mm-hmm.
This is St. Joe Homecoming Festival. I'm guessing that was a conscious decision by somebody years back.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to assume that as well, and I honestly don't know what the story is behind that. I've never thought of that before, never asked that question before.
Yeah. I tell you what, just knowing the community of St. Joe, it was about bringing families back and celebrating the church, you know, celebrating the whole St. Joe community thing. So it's just neat that it's a homecoming festival.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, come back and see your friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we had talked very briefly about the DJ thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're in Cleveland next weekend?
This weekend. This Saturday, I got a wedding in Cleveland. I'm DJing. Okay. Right on.
And you DJed in Michigan and Kentucky?
Mm-hmm.
How do you ever get in that business?
How do I get in the business?
Yeah.
Well, I get in the business because my dad. I mean, that's, you know, dad, slick. Slick. I mean, I could tell stories and stories about this, but I can remember going to weddings with my dad since I was five years old. I would go there and I'd sleep underneath the DJ table. He'd wake me up at the end of the night. We'd go home. I'd just be in there with him. Yeah. And I remember being a CD grabber, right? We had CDs, right? So he'd say, oh, find this. And I can mentally picture the cover of all the CDs he had. Because if he said, oh, go grab the Bare Naked Ladies CD, oh, I know what that one is, you know, or go grab the Sweet CD, I'd grab that, you know, and he'd cue up the song he's going to play. And so I was the CD runner. And so I kind of always knew I was going to do it. And When I was 14 or 15 years old, I was at Fort Recovery Legion with him, DJing a wedding, standing up there, and he got done with the first dance, father, daughter, mother, son, that initial stuff, and he looked at me and said, I'm going to the basement, see you at midnight. And I went, you're doing what? And there I stood up on stage, and for all these people at a wedding, he just threw me in the fire. And I remember,
so how old were you?
I was 14 or 15 years old.
Right?
And I remember, and so I'm just playing the music at that point, and one time I got up the nerve, right, I'm going to talk on this microphone. And so I got on there and I introduced Walking on Sunshine. I can remember it distinctly. And I remember 400 people out there staring at me when I talked on that mic. And I thought, oh, that was awful. And when I was 16 years old, I did my first wedding by myself. And it was a couple I didn't know, and I didn't know a single person at this wedding. They had called Dad, and he was booked, and Rick was booked, who DJed with Dad. And he told him, hey, my son's wanting to get into this. It'd be the first one. They said, yeah, we'll take him. And so I DJed this, and it was the worst night of my life.
Is that right?
I got there, and, you know, we didn't do dinner music back then. You showed up at 7:30 or so and set up your stuff and just played dance music 8 to midnight. And I was nervous as all get out, and I didn't want to talk. And I had my computer at that time, and it's a brand new laptop. And a guy came up drunk from the crowd, and hey, what songs you got? And I said, oh, you know, whatever, take a look. And dumb me, you know, young me, I just let him sit there and scroll through my computer looking at songs. And he spilled his entire beer on my computer.
Oh, boy.
And I was just distraught. Of course, didn't have a cell phone. I walk, it's Salina KFC. I walk into the back room, and Dad's DJing at Maria Stein Night's Hall. And I look up the number from Maria Stein Night's Hall, and I'm about in tears. I said, go get the DJ. And Rick was with him. I said, Dad, I can't do this. And he sent Rick over, because Rick was with Dad that night. And Rick helped me finish up. And I went home that night, and I said, Dad, I will never do that again. I will never do that again. That was awful. And now, 17, 18 years later, here I am doing 30 or 35 of them a year and going to Cleveland this weekend to DJ one. So
that is pretty cool.
Going to Cleveland and DJing one.
Yeah. Going to DJing wedding. It's a couple from St. Henry, but it's a wedding in Cleveland.
Awesome.
And it's called the Music Box Supper Club. I'm on the 7th floor. I looked this up. It's the 7th floor. It's right on where the Cuyahoga River enters the lake there. And it's got windows looking all the way, all like three ways around, three walls around, all looking over the river and the water. So I think it's going to be a pretty cool venue to play at.
Yeah, that is cool.
Yep.
So, real quick, you played an integral part of the Wild Weekend. And, you know, I mean, there's 100 people or more to thank for that whole
thing. Absolutely.
But your role in being the voice of that was very, you know, I mean, it was big.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that experience.
It's hard to explain the experience in words. I can tell you that it was almost a year ago when Ross Overman calls me up one day and says, hey, you know, we're looking at doing this raffle next year. So we need a DJ to play. I have a band from Saturday night, 8 to midnight. Would you want to play music 12 to 7? Yeah, I can do that. Simple enough. And actually, at that time, I had a wedding booked. Yeah. And I told him, I said, no, I got a wedding that night. Look in my bookings list, and I saw they hadn't sent my contract back yet. So I called the girl, and after I hung up with Ross and told him I couldn't do it, and I called the girl, and she said, you know what? She goes, I forgot to call you, but we went a different direction. We don't need you. No problem. So I called Ross back and said, you know what? I can't do that, Ross. I don't have that wedding. And then I talked to Ryan Tin after that, who kind of, you know, explained to me a little bit more what's going to be entailed. And until about a month ago, until a month ago, I thought I was playing music from 12 to 7 or 12 to 8 o'clock. And it turned into, you know, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, all day Saturday. And I couldn't be happier that it did, because it just all went by in a blur. And, you know, they started asking me to do the Facebook Live videos, and I jumped on board with that and just came up with some stuff. They wanted me to play some games with a crowd, and I said, yep, I'll come up with some stuff to do that. And, you know, on Saturday, you ask what that experience was like. You know, I got up there 10 o'clock Saturday morning, left there 1 o'clock Friday, and I got up there 10 o'clock Saturday morning, and before I knew it was 8 o'clock. It just flew by. I was nonstop doing stuff all day. And I never had an opportunity. I wish I could have taken a breath at some point during that day and looked at that crowd and taken in what it was. Because at like 7 o'clock, I mean, whatever, 4,000, 5,000 people there, whatever they're estimating. You know, I wish I could have seen that.
But I didn't take a breath until it was about 8:30.
Yeah.
And the sun was just setting, and I was standing up by the shelter house, and the band was playing. They got the lights on stage, and they got all of them people standing in front of the stage. And I think that's when it hit me. And I might be kind of a softy, but
yeah.
That big flag was blowing in the wind above the stage, and the band was playing, all them people were there. And I thought, this is one of the coolest things I've ever seen. And I wish I would have taken a picture, but I don't have to. That yeah. That photograph is ingrained in my mind. And looking back at it, I'm so glad to be a part of it. Yeah. I mean, these people, I'm a small part of it. There's hundreds of people that put hours and hours and hours over the last year to make this event as big as it was. And they're the ones that need thanked.
Yeah.
They're the ones that came up with this idea and turned it into this unfreaking believable event that I was just proud to be a part of. So, you know, everybody may have stood and listened to me talk that day, but it wasn't me. It was all them other people. Yeah. But it was something.
I know exactly what you're talking about, because the week in before, I was doing announcing games at the MD tournament, and everybody thinks that I did the whole thing. I did nothing. All I did was sit there and say what I saw. Mm-hmm. You did something similar, but it takes somebody like that that's gonna say stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be said. And I had several people, some that knew you, some that didn't, said, this guy's really good. And you did a tremendous job. I didn't see you looking at any notes, and you were going through, this is going on, this is coming up, this is happening. And here, it was extremely well organized as for the whole event, but you were extremely well organized up there, and that makes a huge amount of difference, because, you know, sometimes I get asked to do that kind of thing, and I couldn't have done that. I could have stumbled through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a bunch of people can stumble through it, but I'd need a whole bunch of notes, and it would sound like some guy reading notes, and that's okay. But when you have somebody like what you did, where you're just looking out at the crowd and saying what happened, what's going on, and this is coming up, and this is happening now, it was great. It was really great.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. Like I said, I only saw it from up on stage and never got to take a breath to look at it. I almost wish I could have experienced it from the other side.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, the compliments that I've gotten and the committee's gotten and this has gotten are so over the top extreme. It's more than someone saying, oh, that was pretty good, or that was neat. I mean, yeah. It's been one thing after another nonstop. I'm still getting Facebook messages from people I know, and from people I know real well, to people I don't know real well, to one lady I'm not even friends with on Facebook, and sending me messages saying that was incredible.
Yeah.
And again, I appreciate everything that what people have to say about me, but it wasn't me. It was the 100 other people that put their time into that.
And, you know, all any of us want to do, or give other people a chance to do at times, is to be a part of something special.
Mm-hmm.
And you got that opportunity. You certainly made the most of it. And, you know, Fort Recovery and our athletics, our, you know, baseball field, or
yeah.
You major benefactors for it.
And absolutely.
So, I tell you what, Ryan, I really appreciate you coming up.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Yeah, and again, this is, you know, so, you know, kind of recap a little bit about the St. Joe Festival, when and times and stuff.
Hey, next weekend, September 6th, 7th, and 8th, Friday night cornhole tournament starts at 8 o'clock. Get up there about 7:30 to sign in. Saturday night, 4:30 outdoor mass in the front lawn of the parish, and then plenty of events going on afterwards, concluding with me doing some DJing, and then Sunday, 1 o'clock, come up, watch some football, eat lunch, eat supper, play some horseshoes, bean bags, put the kids in the kiddie tractor pool, whatever you want to do. It's something for the whole family, and we're going to pray for good weather this year, and we're going to have a great time.
Fantastic. So, I tell you what, for insight, Rocker, do you have anything to add?
Go Browns. There you go, Rocker. That's a way to finish.
So, I tell you what, Rocker, you were awesome again tonight.
I try my best.
Next week, he's putting us on the top 10 list.
Ryan,
I'm telling you right now.
Ryan did pretty well with With the stump rocker.
Oh, yeah. I think I get some credit. Yes. That might be the closest anybody ever gets.
Yep. Without a doubt.
I'd say.
So, I tell you what, stay tuned for Bubba and Fee. I don't think that they have a special guest. You have Brent, right?
Right.
No, that's just very
guest.
Special.
Yeah. Just a guest.
Yeah. So there's not a special guest, there's just a guest.
That's very special.
Yeah. So stay tuned for Bubba and Fee and Sports Talk right after this. Until next week, this is Insight, Jack Stokely.
Rocker.
And Rocker. See you next week.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.